back in the evening as it is now. We recognize there may be some storms later tonight, but we have a little bit of respite and have some peace and quiet. So we're glad to be able to close out this Lord's Day by worship together. I'd like to call your attention to the meeting in Woodmont. I have a special interest in that, in that years ago there was a young man about 16 years of age, came to Woodmont, and I found out he was a Catholic. He was raised in a very staunch Catholic family, but he'd been reading his Bible, and he came looking for someone to explain things to him. Showed up one Sunday evening at Woodmont, and it was Lewis Zamora. And we studied together that evening, and later I baptized him into Christ. And he's been preaching now for a number of years. He's working in the Southside Church in Austin, Texas. So I'm looking forward to see this young man again and to recognize that he's continuing to grow in the grace of the Lord and preaching the gospel of Christ. I want to talk with you tonight about our attitude toward the Lord, in the sense that we've been praying a great deal lately because we need so much. We've been praying for those who are sick by name. We've been praying for our families. We've been praying for the Shaw family. And we are so glad to see them tonight. But how often do we just pray a prayer of thankfulness to God? We have so much need that so many times our prayers are prayers of asking for things. And tonight I'd like to use an illustration from the Bible to remind us how thankful we ought to be about a number of things. I want to turn to Luke chapter 17 beginning. And there the Lord talked about some people that had leprosy and how he was able to help them and to cure them of leprosy. But not everybody was thankful about that. So let's start in Luke 17 in verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village there, met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" They were cleansed of leprosy, but only one gave thanks. And it's pointed out in the text that this was a foreigner or a Samaritan, not necessarily a Jew. So the question that comes up, where are the 9? And that brings us up. How often do we give thanks to God for the things that we have? I know that most of the time when I pray for something. I pray for ourselves, I pray for the church, I pray for those in the church who are not doing well, I pray for our country. I see so much need all around us. And God tells us to pray and express our needs to Him. And again, as we said in the bulletin each week, James 5:16, the Lord hears the prayer of a righteous man. So we continue to pray, but at the same time, there's a lesson in Luke chapter 17 that we need to be aware of. Not somebody else but me, and that is that we recognize that many times that we need to pray and just give thanks. I imported some pictures. These are pictures of people that have leprosy. And when you look at leprosy in the Bible, it's sort of an analogy for sin, in that during that time period, while there's some kind of cure today for leprosy, there was none then except a miraculous cure. So during this time, you see how ugly and deformed someone came when they had leprosy. And I've been told, I don't know that it's true because I've never been around leprosy that much, but it's been reported that when you have leprosy, your skin begins to scale. Pardon me. Sometimes even fingers and toes will fall off. But here are 10 people that had leprosy, and the Bible says they stood afar off. In New Testament days, by the law, they had to go before them shouting, "Unclean, unclean." that they would not be a part of the community. They were separated because of the dread of leprosy. And there's a real sense in which sin is like that. You see the face and the feet and the toes of these people who had leprosy and how deformed. Well, that's the way sin does us. If God could look at our soul and see the kind of position and condition that our soul is in sometime, it might look somewhere like that man's face. Sin is deformative. Sin corrupts. Sin causes pain and anguish and is simply incurable by anything man can do. You can go to psychologists and treat the effects of sin sometime, but certainly you cannot do that so far as the guilt of sin is concerned. And here we see that leprosy would be such a dread thing, and 10 men had leprosy. Well, how many of us have had sin? Romans 3 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In our lifetime, we've had the leprosy of sin. We've had the deformation of sin. We've had the sin that nobody can cure but God. Amen. And we need to see sin as it's ugly before mankind. In our nation, sin has become very acceptable. Now then, people brag about the same-sex marriages. People brag about living together, and today in America, there are more people living together, men and women, without marriage than are living together in the state of marriage. That's how far we've descended into the gutter. And we have all these things going on with abortion. We have those things with drug addiction and alcohol addiction. And mankind is ugly in that situation. We need to see it as it is. God sees sin as ugliness and corruption of the man He made, in which Genesis chapter 6 He said it was very good. Man can be good, but man can be so bad. So we look at leprosy, and Jesus uses this analogy here to teach us a lesson. That is, there are times when we just need to be thankful for what we have, and we need to appreciate sometimes where we just don't ask for anything. Let's just give God a prayer of thanks sometimes. Now, the fact of the matter is that sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. Well, these 10 lepers were standing afar off because they were unclean. Sin separates us from God, and we stand afar off from God. In the Ephesian letter, the Galatian letter, the Apostle Paul talked about how we're alienated from God. We were enemies of God, and we had to stand afar off. When Adam and Eve committed their sin in the garden, they had to leave the garden. They were taken away from God. And I need to see sin in that light. I need to understand that sin deforms my spirit. I need to understand that sin makes me ugly to God. When you read in the Revelation letter chapter 3 about the church at Laodicea, Laodicea was in sin and lukewarm, and God said He makes him want to spew them out of his mouth, and that means to vomit. God was disgusted with those people who claimed to be Christians at Laodicea because sin had made them so ugly in His sight. Amen. And sin makes God ugly in makes us ugly in God's sight. Though sin is glittering and sin is acceptable in society today, and the proud and the arrogant act as though they have no consequences to sin, we need to see sin as it is in God's eyes, and it separates us from God. These lepers at least came crying for mercy. And there's a lesson there. If you recognize that you're not living right, here's what you need to do. You need to cry to God to have mercy on you. Amen. They came to the right place. They came to Jesus. And if I could somehow understand the ugliness of sin, and I look at that and I think, does God see me like that? Does God look at my spirit and think that that's the way that I look because of sin in my life? Then I need to repent of that. I need to come before God and ask for forgiveness. These men who had leprosy understood their condition. They were unclean to the community, and they asked God for mercy. And that's what we need. We don't ask God for justice. We ask God for mercy, because these were those way. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7 and throughout the book of Hebrews what a wonderful Jesus we have, because he is a high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He understands what we go through. Now, Jesus never sinned, but he was tempted in all points like as we, and therefore he understands what it means to be tempted to sin, but he never gave in into it at all. I looked at the pictures of leprosy, and I couldn't put some of them on here because they were just too horrible to understand how they looked. How deeply do we dread sin? I don't know how to express it if I found out I had leprosy. How would I explain it to you, brethren? How would I explain it in the community? People would not have anything to do with me if I had leprosy. But we sin with impunity. Everybody sins. Everybody does it, so it's no big thing. But we need to compare sin to leprosy and see how God sees that, as Jesus did in that particular passage. And so the facts about the matter is that all of them had the same disease. All of them were suffering. But only one showed gratitude. And I wonder if that could be said of us. We pray often, I know we do. We pray every day. But I'm asking for something every day. My needs are never fully met, in the sense that some of my brethren get sick. Terry Parvin is in a really sick way right now. So I'll be praying for Terry because he needs our prayers. But at the same time, I recognize that there are times when we need to give thanks. All of these people had the same condition. You couldn't compare this one to that one, because once you have leprosy, you're in that bad condition. Now, we look at sin and we say, well, this sin is worse than that sin. Well, not in God's eyes. I don't think there's any more despicable thing than a child molester. As far as I'm concerned, a child molester ought to just be shot without a trial. But I recognize that I've done things in the past that were sinful. So, what's the difference in me and the child molester? And I recognize that community looks at it differently. But nevertheless, sin is sin, and we're all in the same condition. Somebody who had, of those 10, somebody might say, well, you have more leprosy than I do. Didn't make any difference. They were lepers. So that's the way it is. All of them had been hearing about Jesus. Jesus came out of Galilee through Samaria and down toward Jerusalem. And these 10 lepers looked him up. Let me ask you. Are you looking for Jesus? We ought to be. I'm not talking about looking for the physical Jesus. Are you looking for Jesus in your life? Do you want Jesus in your life? Recognizing the condition of sin in which we sometimes are, we need to be looking for Jesus. And these people came to the same person. They were looking for him. And they all cried the same thing. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The Bible talked about two men going up to the temple to pray. And one man bragging about how better he was than anybody else. And the other one wouldn't look up to heaven, but beat his chest and said, Father, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And man, we need to have that kind of an attitude. Be merciful to me. We don't pray for justice. If we had justice, we'd all be lost. But God gave us mercy instead of that. All of them were told to do the same thing. You notice that Jesus kept the law. Under the law, when somebody was cleansed from a disease, they had to go show it to the priest to be allowed back into the community. And they were all told to do the same thing. And notice the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Had they not gone, they wouldn't have been cleansed, because this was a test of their faith. Go and show it to the priest. Now, when they started away from Jesus, they were still lepers. But as they came, as they went, they were cleansed. And I have enough faith in Jesus to know that anybody who is so bothered by sin, who wants to get sin out of their life, if they will obey the Lord Jesus Christ, your cleansing from sin will be as effective as though you had leprosy that was cleansed. Amen. Total, complete cleansing from sin. And how wonderful that is, to be able to have that cleansing from sin. They all received the same blessing. All of them were cleansed, and they could show to the priest. Well, the priest could say, you've been cleansed, now go back to the community, go back to your family. So they all had the same blessing. Only one returned, and it's remarkable that it was a Samaritan. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? As the man was going on his way, he was beaten and robbed and left for dead. The priest and the Levite passed by on the other side, but the Good Samaritan. Jesus used this for an example to prove that sometimes those who are considered outside of the norm, that sometimes they're the most merciful. So here was a Samaritan that the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with because he was not a Samaritan, he was not a Jew. He was the one that came back and thanked the Lord. Jesus also talked about one time, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And he concluded the one who did the most for the needy. That was the neighbor. And so here's this Samaritan. He had been cleansed and he knew it. And he came back giving God thanks for that. Well, we need to look a little bit further. Now let's get down to us. We need to be thankful because all of us have been sort of like that man who had leprosy. We've been ugly in sin. I noticed in the song that we sang a moment ago, he went to the cross for such a worm as I. They've changed that. They've changed that to such a one as I. Isaiah talked about, I'm speaking about the way Christ would feel. I'm a worm and not a man. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt so ashamed because you've done something wrong that I'm not really what I ought to be? And that's the way it really ought to be when we're sinners. You can't be satisfied when you're a sinner. When you're not living right, you can't be satisfied. You can't be happy. You can't be complete because you know you're not complete. You're outside of Jesus and you're not complete. Revelation chapter 21 talks about those whose name is written in heaven. Is your name written there? What makes you think your name is written there? Turn with me to Revelation 21. And there the Apostle John and Jesus are speaking about these matters. And chapter 21, down in verse 27, the record says, but there shall be by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I ask myself, is my name written there? Is your name written there? How do you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, we know it's because when somebody comes to the knowledge that they're a sinner and repents and confesses the name of Christ and are baptized, their sins are washed away. And God puts that name in the Book of Life. But you know, that name can be taken out. Amen. What a terrible thing to think that my name is in the Book of Life and God takes it out. Why? Because I'm not living right. If you haven't been living right, your name could be taken out. But, again, here's the mercy of God. By repentance and prayer, confession of your sins to God, God can enter your name back again into the Book of Life. It'd be a good thing for me to think that everybody here tonight has your name written in the Book of Life alongside of mine. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Can I be thankful for that God has my name written in the Book of Life? Yes, it certainly can, so we need to believe that. And also that I've been saved. I've been saved. My sins have been washed away. Can you say that? Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul began chapter 6 by asking the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. But he went on down then in chapter 6 and verse 17. He said, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And so you've been set free from sin. To somebody who, I want to call back that face again. That face that had leprosy all over it. And you think about you looking like that. And you go to the Lord and He heals you and your face becomes clean and pure again. Oh my, wouldn't you be thankful to get rid of all those bumps and lumps and sores on your face and just be whole again? Well, think about sin and how sin clings to our spirit and how sin deforms our spirit. And I can come to the Lord and be forgiven and my skin is white again. My spirit is white like snow, Isaiah said. And we need to recognize that what a blessing it is to be able to pray to God every day and ask Him to forgive me of my sins. Do you do that? Do you ask God to forgive you every day? I heard a story one time about a man who was leading in the closing prayer. And he prayed, Lord, forgive us for our many, many, many sins. Brother Bill Reeves was telling me that. And he said, I went to that man. I said, I'm going to talk to you about these many, many, many sins. You shouldn't have many, many, many sins. Well, you know, we sometimes don't express ourselves the way we ought to. I hope we don't have many, many, many sins among us. But even one is too much. And God will forgive us. And how good that really is. So, I've been saved. There was a brother out in North Carolina. They have an area known as the Pocosin out in the swamps. It's a high swamp. It's not a low swamp, but it's a high swamp. And it's just thick with trees. And he went out hunting one day and got lost. And he didn't find his way out. And they sent out a helicopter looking for him. And oh, he said, when I saw that helicopter and they saw me, I was so thankful that I was saved. Well, how do you feel when you're baptized? And you know that everything you've ever said that's wrong is gone. And everything you've ever done that's wrong is gone. And I've been saved. We can sing about it and we can talk about it and it just rolls off our tongue. But sometimes we need to thank God that I've been saved. And if you're not saved, thank God that you can be saved. Everybody can be saved. And so these are things to remember. And while we were sins, Paul said in Romans 5, chapter 5 and verse 8, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the godly. He died for the ungodly. And I when I read that passage so many times, I think about the two policemen that were doing their beat, and they saw this drunk lying in the gutter. And he had a beard, he wasn't shaving, he wasn't clean, he was lying in the gutter. He had vomited and spit up on himself, and he was just barely breathing. And one policeman said to the other, no, you give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. How would you like to lay your lips on something like that? But this is what the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8. While we were unsinners and ungodly, Jesus died for me. We're not beautiful when we're in sin. How would you like to kiss that leprosy man on the lips? You wouldn't do that, would you? But Jesus died for us. And that's something to really think about. And when you go to the book of Hebrews, it's talking about how much better Jesus Christ is than the angels and things of that nature. And chapter 2, verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste of death for everyone. So in analogy, Jesus kissed that leper's face. He loved him and died for him. And when that leper came to Jesus, that Samaritan, he cleansed him. And what a Savior we have. I've read some of the Roman gods and the Greek gods. Many of them were cruel and mean-spirited, and they would strike people down just because it gave them fun, and they committed adultery, and they did all these things that were sinful. And you read about the Greeks and the Roman gods, and they're not nice at all. But then you come to the reality of Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and how merciful they are, how much they want us to be saved, so much so that they gave Jesus on the cross to pay for my sins. And we need to be aware of that, because that would help us understand that. We should be thankful for the temporal things we have. The very building we meet in, the home you live in, the car that you drive, the clothes on your back, and yes, the air that we breathe. All of that is something that comes from God. And we need to be aware of those things and be thankful that we have all of these things. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there and begin reading with verse 6, the Bible says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Abounding in thanksgiving. Let's don't be stingy with our thanks. Give God thanks for the things that we have. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and in verse 19, we have the statement, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." And I'm not sure that's talking about temporal things. I think it includes that, but it's also talking about spiritual things. And then of all things, that Christian fellowship. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul said there, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." I want you to know that I give thanks for being a member at Northside.
Amen.
It's so good to have the peace that we have here. It is so good to have the joy of truth that we have here. It's so good to see every one of you. And when I see somebody on the street that I'm in business with or something, I shake their hand. But when I shake your hand, it's special. Because this is the hand of fellowship. And I'm so thankful that we have this congregation. I'm so thankful that we have the fellowship that we do. And this is something that I could, when I go home tonight, just give thanks for everybody that's here tonight and not ask for anything. And I think of the lepers and how they forgot about Jesus. 9 of them, which is 9/10 of that group, didn't even stop to give Him thanks. Can you imagine how ungrateful that really is? And so we need to give thanks for all things, because we receive all things from God. So as we're looking at the lesson tonight, I couldn't help but just think, we pray for so many things we need. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to lay our needs before Him. I understand that. But then I look at those 10 lepers and think that of the terrible, terrible disease that they had, only one came back and thanked Jesus for the grace and mercy of healing and what He did for him. And then I try to make an analogy to myself. How thankful am I for the things that I have? And I recognize I don't give enough thanks. But tonight I wanted to talk about that so we all could give thanks to God. If you're present tonight and not a Christian, God wants you to be saved. If you are a child of God and you haven't lived right, He wants you to be saved. We have so much to be thankful for. We've had so many blessings in our life, and God has answered so many prayers. But we need to keep praying and keep giving thanks. If you need to respond tonight in any way to the gospel of Christ, we ask you to come. We should stand together and while we sing.